Hello, everyone. This is Paul Douglas Boyer from the Madman Machine Show 97 at the beginning of February 2008. So glad you can join me. The Madman Machine is proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors. If you haven't made the change to Index Funds Advisors, I suggest you get there now. IFA.com. This show is all about change. Yeah, there's something you can buy called a bag of change. You can buy it in a $1,000 face value of silver quarters and dimes. Now, a $1,000 face value of silver quarters and dimes, how much do you think that would cost? Well, if you look out on the website, you will see that that could run you about $12,500. Talk about inflation. That's Tears for Fears with change. Speaking of change, should you buy a Liberty dollar? You know, the more I've looked into this Liberty dollar business, the more I realize, maybe to be a seller of the Liberty dollar would be okay. But to actually be a consumer to buy a Liberty dollar, well, that's more like coin collecting than it is investing. A $20 stamped coin is not actually worth $20. It's worth, $10 or something in silver. And so, probably not the best thing to do. I know on eBay, you can buy some of the Liberty dollars for much, much more than that even. These are just collectibles. They're not investments. I'm going to run down the news headlines here. Most of them have something to do with change. Looks like Henry Blodgett is going to be popping up again. Yahoo is going to be coming up with a financial video service that streams onto the internet called Tech Ticker. And it'll feature Henry Blodgett along with some others. That should be coming out any day now. Other changes. HD versus Blu-ray. The war is over. Blu-ray is the winner, it looks like. And I'm stuck with an HD DVD drive now for my Xbox 360. And maybe you'll see that on eBay someday soon. Charge. Some banks are charging $3 for non-customer ATM fees. Ouch. Talk about change. They want the change in your pockets, don't they? Take out 20 bucks and they take out three of it. Yo! I can change. Do you agree with me that these would be great changes? Number one, eliminate taxes on dividends, savings, capital gains, Social Security benefits, tips, and the death tax. Number two, freeze non-defense, non-entitlement spending at current levels. Three, televise Federal Reserve Board meetings. Lift the veil of secrecy. Four, legalize competing currencies. And five, repeal Sarbanes-Oxley. Well, I think the one of those that I'm most passionate about is number one, eliminate. What? How amazing would that be to eliminate taxes on dividends, savings, and capital gains? Can you imagine owning a stock that's gone up and you're being able to sell it tax-free if you think that it's going to go down? Now, the brokers would like this because that'll dramatically increase, turnover. And that will dramatically increase their brokerage commissions and fees and things. And I would like that, too, because maybe I've bought some stupid stocks that I want to get out of. For example, I bought Microsoft 14 years ago or something. And I'm still holding on to some shares of that because it has such a big gain, even though it hasn't gained anything at all in the last 5 years. But as soon as I sell it, I have to pay capital gains tax. Now, what about Social Security recipients? Why do they pay taxes on money that was taken away from them in taxes? It's just, wow, it's recursive. And speaking of all that, you know that Ron Paul made a statement in one of his debates that we should eliminate the income tax and that and that we'd have as much revenue as we had 10 years ago. You're thinking, how could we possibly get rid of the income tax? What would the government do for money? Well, there's a website called politifact.com from the St. Petersburg Times. And what they do is they take all the candidates' statements and run it through the truth mill to see how accurate it is. And so they ran Ron Paul's statement through the truth mill. And here's what they came up with. They asked, do today's tax collections minus the income tax really equal the tax collections of 10 years ago? We dug into the IRS statistics ourselves. The most recent detailed data available on income tax collected in the United States is for 2005. Besides income tax, the IRS collects corporate taxes, employment taxes, which I don't know what that is, estate and gift taxes, and excise taxes. After issuing refunds, the IRS collected $880 billion in individual income tax in 2005. Now, you subtract that from the total tax collections for 2005, which totaled close to $2 trillion, and you get $1.12 trillion. All right, that's the non-income taxes collected, $1.12 trillion. By comparison, the total tax collections in 1995 were about $1.27 trillion. And they go on to say that these two big numbers sound close, but take out the calculator, the difference between the two numbers comes to about 12%. And when you're talking about the federal government, that's a chunk of change, about $150 billion. To put that in perspective, it would pay for almost a year and a half of the war in Iraq, adjust for inflation, and the gap widens to a roughly 30% shortfall. We'll concede that it's possible Paul could reduce the budget by that much, based on some of his positions that he advocates. Paul says that he'd like to slash the defense budget by pulling back all U.S. troops on foreign soil, zeroing out foreign aid, and reducing the size of the active military. He also advocates abolishing the other federal functions, like the Department of Education, the U.S. Federal Department of Education. Whether he makes up that 12% difference or not, we'll have to wait for a Paul presidency. Meanwhile, we find his statement that ending the income tax would roll back tax revenues 10 years to be mostly true. Absolutely amazing. Well, I'm hoping that by the time we get to the convention that Ron Paul finds somebody to be his vice presidential candidate named Boyer. How great would it be to have signs that say, Paul Boyer, 2008. Heck, I'd even settle for a Douglas. Well, you know, all the presidential candidates are talking about they want change. And I think what most of them mean is they want the change from your pockets. Well, here's a little clip from YouTube, a Saturday Night Live skit, mashed up with some of the presidential candidates about a change bank. Listen up.
People don't realize that change is a two-way street. You can come to us with 16 quarters, 8 dimes, and 4 nickels. We can give you a $5 bill. We can give you 5 singles. Or 2 singles, 8 quarters, and 10 dimes. You'd be amazed at the variety of options you have.
I was driving through Pennsylvania on the tollway, and to save time, I was using the exact change lanes. I had just run out of quarters, and I was getting a bit nervous when I spotted a sign for a citywide branch at the next exit. Let me tell you, it's a pretty good feeling.
We want change, 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 change.
I've had people come in with wrinkled $10 bills who want new crisp bills to put in birthday cards. And we can handle special requests like that, usually the same day.
Anytime you speak out powerfully for change, the forces of status quo attack.
I just returned from a business trip to London, and all the cash I had was a 5-pound note. Citywide wasn't able to convert it to dollars, but they did give me 4 guineas, 2 crowns, 4 shillings, and 10 pence.
I want to make change, but I've already made change. I will continue to make change. I'm not just running on a promise of change. I'm running on 35 years of change.
I went to my first Citywide branch to change a 50. I guess I was in kind of a hurry. I asked for a 20, a 10, and 2 fives. Well, their computers picked up my mistake right away, and I got the correct change. We've been in this business a long time. With our experience, we're going to have ideas for change combinations that probably haven't occurred to you.
If you have a $50 bill, we can give you 50 singles. We can give you 49 singles and 10 dimes. We can give you 25 twos. Come talk to us.
I brought change to company after company. In the Olympics, it was in trouble. I brought change. In Massachusetts, I brought change.
We are not going to give you change that you don't want. If you come to us with a $100 bill, we're not going to give you 2,000 nickels, unless that meets your particular change needs. We will give you the change equal to the amount of money that you want change for.
Change, 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 change.
All the time our customers ask us, how do you make money doing this? The answer is simple.
Change.
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 Volume.
Speaking of change, you've just got to read this article by Paul B. Farrell out at MarketWatch.com. It's called 14 Winning Strategies for a Bear Market Recession. Commentary, sell stocks, realty, commodities, and buy bonds, dollar. Well, Paul B. Farrell wrote a book about lazy portfolio investing, and he keeps track of the lazy portfolios like I am just now starting to do. But in this article, he doesn't seem like he's so lazy. He interviews a couple of people who recommend some strategies, in other words, active investing, for selling this, what he calls a bear market. And so I'll have a link to this article in the show notes. Let's see. The first five are linked directly to the subprime mortgage meltdown. Sell or sell short home builder stocks and bonds. Number two, if you plan to sell your home, second home, or investment houses anytime soon, do so yesterday. Three, sell short subprime mortgages. Four, sell or sell short housing-related stocks. Five, sell or sell short consumer discretionary spending companies. Now, it's not Paul B. Farrell saying this himself. He's quoting Robert Shiller, the irrational exuberance guy. The next five are sell low-grade fixed income securities. Junk is junk, so dump. Number two, sell or avoid most commercial real estate. Number three, short commodities. Long run, we're bullish, Schilling says, but short run, as global demand falters with a global recession, commodity prices will fall. Four, sell or sell short emerging market equities. If you think foreign stocks would do better than domestic, think again. Major stock markets tend to move together, particularly on the downside. Plus, China's P.E. ratios exceed 50. And five, sell emerging country bonds. Last paragraph, get it? Lose 50% during a year. You have to make 100% to recover your losses in the next bull. In short, sitting on the sidelines may be your best strategy in a bear market. But first, you really have to hear the word, sell, sell. Well, Paul B. Farrell, I think you have done a disservice to your readers in this case, because that's not the wisest strategy. The wisest strategy is first, determining your risk capacity. And then secondly, investing according to your risk capacity. Three, rebalance as it becomes necessary. And four, selling when either one of two things happens. One, you need the money, or two, you lose your faith in capitalism. Now, if you go to the IFA.com website, they've got some new stuff along the right-hand side there. They feature some talk about recessions. They have some links to articles about whether or not you can predict a recession. Here's a hint, you can't. And then they ask, out of the last 50 years, or 600 months, October 1987, was the worst one-month decline in the index portfolios 15 to 100. And then they ask this question, how long did it take the index portfolios to recover? And what they link to here is really interesting. They link to results from the Benchmark Your Portfolio tool. And so, for example, after the 21.79% decline in October of 97 of Index Portfolio 100, you can see that it took 1 year and 4 months to fully recover. They go down the list, show portfolios 70, 50, and 30 after a 8.12% decline of Portfolio 30 in October of 87. It took 10 months to recover. Of course, for us right now, the market has already declined some 10 or 15% from its highs. So you got to think that now, if you're still in the accumulation phase of your life where you're starting to invest, you're continuing to invest, if you've got cash on the sidelines, well, if you're looking at long-term investments, there's no better time than now to start investing. So the only change you need to make is to rebalance your portfolio annually. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the number and select a guru and give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show 97 is Jim Rogers. All right. Well, Jim Rogers. I told you, I predicted that you'd be hearing a lot more about Jim Rogers this year. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, obviously. He has written a couple of books that I've read. The first one came out 3 or 4 years ago called Hot Commodities, How Anyone Can Invest Profitably in the World's Best Market. You meaning, you know, like pork bellies and such. And his newest book is the first book that I have purchased for my Amazon Kindle. And it's called A Bull in China, Investing Profitably in the World's Greatest Market. You know, and here's what I'd say about these books. In both of these books, Jim goes into detail talking about certain companies, certain specific types of commodities that you should learn about and you should invest in and trade and so forth. I mean, he gets down and talks about travel companies in China, for example. Or he gets down and talks about wheat in his commodities book. But here's the thing for us. You want commodities? Go buy Vanguard's Precious Metals and Mining Fund, VGPMX. Or go buy the DBC, ticker symbol DBC, which is the PowerShares DB Commodity Index. And don't go hog wild. Don't put 100% of your portfolio in this. You know, put maybe 2, 3% in something like that to get to diversification. Same thing with China. Don't go buy individual Chinese stocks. It's fun to read about companies, and just like on watching Mad Money, it's fun to learn about individual companies. But for an investment, nah. Spread your money across all different kinds of countries. Go buy Vanguard's VWO, or buy EEM, or DFA's DEMSX, or maybe a tiny holding in FXI, the China Exchange-Traded Fund. Now, it turns out, at the same time as Jim Rogers' book came out just recently, another book has come out, this time by Burton Malkiel and Patricia Taylor, called From Wall Street to the Great Wall. And in this book, Bert Malkiel also talks about what a great investment China would be and what I've heard. Now, I haven't read this book yet, but from what I've heard, he doesn't talk so much about buying the individual stocks, but he does talk about buying the indexes, the index funds, like he has in his Random Walk Down Wall Street book. Now, when you buy an emerging market fund, you're not only making a bet on China, you're making a bet on lots of other countries. How about some in Korea? How about some in Brazil? Taiwan, India, South Africa, Malaysia, Mexico, Poland, Turkey. All of those countries are represented in the DFA Emerging Market Small Company Index Fund. And you can get in that fund by getting an account at Index Funds Advisors. Go to ifa.com, take the risk capacity survey, contact them about setting up an account, and let them help you manage your financial freedom. Well, I wonder if Jim Rogers will come out with another book talking about how great it would be to invest in United States microcap companies. You know, and he'll name specific microcap companies and why they're great and all this sort of stuff. Or maybe a book about small value international companies from England, Germany, Australia. And in both of those cases, too, you can just buy an index fund. And that's what I recommend. Congratulations, Jim Rogers, you're the guru on Mad Men Machine Show 97. Let's go ahead and pull something out of the tool crib now. I mentioned that my first book for the Amazon Kindle was Jim Rogers, A Bull in China. Well, I really enjoyed reading a lot of other things on my Kindle ebook reader. For example, PDF files. Now, you know that Amazon provides a service where you can email them a PDF file. They'll convert it and email it back to you. Then you can load it on your Kindle. But what if you? What about if you don't want Amazon knowing what PDFs you're reading? Well, that's where this week's tool come in. It's called Mobi Pocket. And it's a Mobi Pocket Creator. And it can create ebook files that work fantastically on the Kindle. You can import Word documents, text documents, HTML documents, and PDF files. And it will convert them into a format that is readable on the Kindle. And the tool is free. I'll have a link to it in the show notes of show 97. What about writing your own book? You know, maybe you want to promote your own book or your own set of articles and have people that have a Kindle find it and download it. Well, Mobi Creator is the way to get it in a format that can be read on the Kindle. And do you know, there are lots of public domain books out there too. Some of them are already in a format that can be read on the Kindle. Some of them are in PDF format. This is a great way to convert them. Well, that's our tool in the crib this week, the Mobi Pocket Creator. And like most of the other tools I've gotten so far, this one's free. The best things in life are free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Now give me money. Now give me money, 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 money. That's what I want. I'm so happy to have you along for the ride here. We're on Money Mayhem, the Mad Money Machine. Now, next Friday, when I do show 98, I'm hoping to have an update for you on the Lazy Portfolio Smackdown game, where we have some almost 70 participants who have submitted their lazy portfolios, and we'll see how they're doing in not only return, but also in risk, if I have the time to calculate all that up. So I'll see you next Friday. In the meantime, this is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes supporting change to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next Friday. In the meantime, visit our sponsor and sign up for an account to help them manage your financial freedom. Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. Go read. Go take a look at those charts and things about how their portfolios have overcome recession quickly, investing in capitalism all across the globe. Some music on this program provided by music.podshow.com. Some not so much. I'll see you next week. Stay invested.